This is the BBC.
This podcast is supported by advertising outside the UK.
Across Northern Ireland, on your radio and on BBC Sounds. This is
The Stephen Nolan Show!
On the programme today, a new private security firm contributing to security in Belfast city centre. In what way? We'll look at that. The continuing investigation into Victoria Square. All of a sudden, despite being forced to pay rates for 5 years for properties that Land and Property Services knew these people couldn't live in, all of a sudden, LPS have said that they're now able to refund all of the rates. So what changed? Why were the voices of those residents not powerful enough? Land and Property Services saying, well, the High Court judgment enabled them to review their decision. What's in that judgment that changed the right, according to the residents, of them having to not pay rates for properties they couldn't live in? Does there need to be an apology? Do they need to be given compensation for interest when they were being asked to take out loans? They needed to take out loans to pay for the rates. There's so many questions around that story. Gavin Robinson from the DUP will be on the programme around that, and lots of other paramilitary posters going up in Newton Ards. Police saying they've no power to do anything about it. Department of Infrastructure saying, yeah, you do, it's a criminal offence and you may be able to investigate this. So a standoff there between those two authorities. It's all happening on the Nolan Show this morning.
The Stephen Nolan Show!
Good morning. Thank you for joining us today here at the Nolan Show. Yesterday afternoon, and we'll be talking to the DUP MP, Gavin Robinson, about this. So yesterday afternoon, all of a sudden, after media scrutiny and politicians asking questions, Land and Property Services issued a statement in which they said that they no longer consider it reasonable to charge rates on Victoria Square apartments. Strange that, isn't it? Because for five solid years, when it was the residents, when it was ordinary people going to Land and Property Services saying, we cannot live in this building. We're desperate here. We're having to pay rates on other buildings. Please help us stop our rates. Land and Property Services said no. So yes, it is good news for those residents that LPS have suddenly decided to refund the last 5 years of rates. But the question does not go away. Who made the decision to say no to those residents? What has changed all of a sudden? Should there be a review into Land and Property Services? And the Finance Minister, Kiva Archibald, now on a number of occasions ducking the question that we have sent, does she stand over the decision-making of Land and Property Services who refused to stop the rates, despite them knowing that those residents could not live in those apartments? Keith Archibald's Department of Finance have not also responded to the question as to whether there should be a review. It's a story that's important. This angle of the story is important. You will hear Gavin Robinson saying today that it frustrates him that a politician or a radio presenter gets a different response from a public body than an ordinary punter on the street. So what has happened within that organisation? And within their statement yesterday, not one word of an apology. The word sorry does not exist. Should it exist? Some of those people had to take out personal loans. You will hear from someone today who had to turn to their parents to get the money to continue paying rates. Is the word sorry going to come from Land and Property Services? Should it? And we're going to speak to Gavin Robinson later in the programme this morning. Now, first up, a new subscription security service has been launched in Belfast city centre. Its owners claim their aim is keeping antisocial behaviour at bay. Now, we think this is an interesting story. The role of the PSNI and then the role of a new subscription security service. They say they are fully trained in physical intervention. Well, what does that mean? Tommy Fleming is the business liaison manager. Good morning, Tommy.
Good morning.
Morning, Tommy. Good to talk to you. Help us understand what this model is.
Well, thank you for having us on and that we can explain what this new service is all about. It's a positive protection programme by providing a semi-permanent security that's designated and designed to protect businesses and, more importantly, the staff. Research shows that the retail shop workers face increased abuse on a daily basis, verbally and physically. The increased cost across the board has made a huge impact on small to medium businesses. Rather than close down, they feel forced to make cuts to the staff hours, leaving the lone workers and making them vulnerable. When we had looked at the research, whenever we spoke to different business owners, this is something that they have told us that they would like and they need, and they've backed that up by subscribing to our service. So for the business who can't afford full-time security, Legacy Link is the perfect affordable solution. So, but now I have to say, we're not here to compete with the PSNI,
well,
rather to complement them.
Okay, so these security officers, they will never be on the street. They'll always be within a business.
No, that's the thing. They are actually working from business to business, and they'll be on foot. So as we move from business to business on foot, while on the street, we have the very same any person powers as the public or a concerned citizen would have. But being a professional security industry, we've got a duty of care. When we're on the street, we find that we'll be able to give additional support, much needed additional support, should I say, to the Belfast City Council Community Safety Unit, the Welcome Organisation, Extern Addiction and Homeless Support.
And so again, when you're on the street, it's when you're on the street that I'm really interested in. So I get what you're saying about providing extra security to businesses that want them. And look, that's their own business, isn't it? It's private property, yeah. and it's extra security. It's when you're on the street. For example, when you said, Tommy, that you will be trained in physical intervention, do you see yourselves intervening physically on the street?
Generally, that would be a no. With being fully licensed to the door supervisor standard via the SIA authority, which is inside the business, this means we're fully compliant on the conflict management, as you said, and we're trained in the physical intervention. We generally can physically remove people out of the business. But when we come across something as a duty of care, like I said, we don't have any more powers. We have no jurisdiction outside than the any person powers, public. Just basically, you know, a public member of the team. But we're actually, our guys have a body cam, and what we can be is a professional witness. So we can stand back and making sure that the public is safe from any problems that's there. We have a control centre that we're able to ring straight through, and they can then task the police for an emergency basis. So really, that would be our role as a citizen going from business to business.
So if there was someone, let's say there was someone, you know, kicking off antisocial behaviour in the middle of Royal Avenue, what might your people do?
Well, this has actually happened in the past. So Legacy Resources, we already have a good, solid relationship with the vulnerable population, as they frequently visit the two very well-known food establishments in Donegal Place. We provide 21-hour service there every single day. Our guards have been able to, because they have that relationship with the people, we are able to speak with them and diffuse. But again, we don't get physical on the street because we are still a citizen.
But is this not what community police officers should be doing? And look, I'm not being critical of your organisation, but in terms of talking people down from volatile situations, is that not what community on the beat policemen and women do?
Well, yes, when they are able to be there. As you know, things tick off quite fast, and it can be very, very volatile, very, very fast. When the likes of the number 101 is rang, well, in our research, we're finding that people are struggling to get the police out, sometimes within an hour, 2 hours, 3 hours, and sometimes 24 hours follow-up later. Now, obviously, that's not on an emergency basis. But again, you've got the emergency numbers, obviously 999. And again, the police are stretched. Like I said, we want to complement and help and support the police because we know that there is that issue. And that's why our business is predominantly for the businesses inside each business. We've got to walk to each business. We'd like to tap on foot, walking from business to business, as opposed to going in a security marked car, which we have as well.
And when you say that you, if something's kicking off out in the street, that you've got body cam and you can witness what has happened, is that admissible in court?
Yes, we are able to, because it's actually, we can activate the body cameras, which we would do inside the business as well, but it's no, I suppose there's no real difference in someone actually taking a video on their phone, but only ours is coming from a professional background, a professional security background.
I guess the danger here, the person I've said to has told me that they're aware of your business as you're an established security company in Belfast. They say they do not endorse any commercial enterprise. I guess the danger here, you know, you can look at this as a positive that there will be, you know, extra security for those businesses who sign up to it in the city centre. The downside is with a police force that is already stretched, which is saying it doesn't have enough money, which is saying that, you know, some non-urgent matters may not be pursued as well as they used to be. The danger is that the police hand over some of this policing responsibility to you.
I wouldn't say that. That's not, excuse me, that's not something that we would expect from the police. That rather the other way around. What makes us different to the police is that we can deal with the lower priority crime, and if it elevates, then we are able to hand it off to the police. Then we go on about our business to business as the service provides. We were actually speaking with the neighbourhood team yesterday. The inspector and the sergeant made a visit to our business.
Why?
Well, this came down just to have a chat with us, same as yourself, to find out about us and what we were planning to do. And really, to say the more security throughout Belfast, the better for the public. So again, you know, it's a support network as well.
But the more security throughout Belfast, you can. Well, John Burrows is former senior PSNI officer. I know you're in support of this, John. But is there any curiosity around a police force saying the more security, the better? Do we not want that security to come from the PSNI?
Yeah, morning, Steve. Morning, Tommy. I mean, look, even in a Rolls-Royce policing environment, you know, you still want some support, particularly around those low-level quality of life issues that affect businesses. You know, your routine patrol, your graffiti, your vandalism, your antisocial behaviour. It's good to have eyes and ears, trained eyes and ears to help the police. But look, there is no doubt the police service is in crisis. You know, they've got a recruitment crisis, they've a retention crisis, and they're also doing lots of jobs that they shouldn't really be doing around, you know, the health service. So, you know, you don't have a police service that's able to give that kind of proactive, visible, quick response that it used to be able to give. And companies like Tommy's there are filling a gap. And, you know, it is both necessary as well as being positive.
So, where will the line be here, John, between what the police do and what this private security firm does?
Well, I mean, there's a few differences. So where a crime is reported, the police will have to attend, and the police only have investigative power. So, you know, this group will not be able to investigate. The police will. Anything that's a serious incident that might require, you know, high-level use of force or large numbers or has a complexity around it, the police will deal with. But it's really about them having a good relationship with each other to know the limits. So, look, they can't use... They can only use force when it comes to things like defending themselves or defending someone else. The normal powers that a citizen has, defend themselves or defend someone else. So, you know, the police remain the only agency they can investigate. And one of the things you've got to be very careful of is that the police don't assign them or not assign the police to low-level crimes, because only the police can investigate those crimes, only the police can seize evidence, only the police can make those follow-up inquiries. So it's really important they don't become a substitute for the police and they don't start dealing with, you know, minor crimes.
Raymond Neils from Ulster. Good morning, Raymond.
Raymond.
You represent retail workers. Does this provide you with more sense of security?
To be honest, David, it throws up concerns for me. You know, it basically sounds like some private-funded vigilante police style, you know, force, but I mean, really, we're getting away from the needs of protection.
Well, Tommy Fleming would reject that. They're an accredited security firm.
Yeah, I mean, I get that. We've had this before. Liverpool City Centre, Manchester, they have private security. Now, it's more at night time to deal with. Excuse me, Steve. It's more night time to deal with nightclubs, pubs, things like that. I mean, through the day, I don't see how it can provide security. Security can only be done on the premises. I mean, investment in CCTV funded by local council should be what we're looking at, and more of a tax in that way. I mean, response-wise, how many security people are there going to be? Are they going to supply CCTV cameras in the store, in the shops for £5 a day? I don't think that's viable to do that. I mean, I'd like to see more of a plan of how the plan to implement that. For me, I think it's just a brush over, to be honest. This security company has seen a loophole and they're going to expand into it.
Do you want to respond to that, Tommy?
Yeah, certainly. Thank you very much. I mean, really, when you're asking about CCTV in the stores, I mean, our clients have already got that. What they're looking for is they're looking for that added security measure, a support to reduce anxiety, to reduce stress. And I'm disappointed that you used the word vigilante, because, you know, we don't go to the likes of a Tesco's where they have a security guard there. When he has to do his job, call him a vigilante. You know, as you say, we are professional in what we do, and we're just moving from business to business on foot. Yes, there is a gap in the market, which was unfortunate, but again, we have a love at Legacy Resource for Belfast people, and again, the Belfast businesses. Now, if it happens that we're out and we're walking to another business and something happens, like any other concerned citizen, we will do what we are able to do, but again, the line is in the sand where what we can and cannot do. We understand this because we've actually been speaking with the SIA, and when we spoke to the SIA, we officially met with them, the inspectors, to confirm that Legacy Link is fully legal and compliant within the Private Security Industry Act.
But I think, Tommy, what you also said was that you can physically remove people. You can't physically remove people. Only the police can do that. What you can do is take off, diffuse a situation. But for me, I think you would create a situation. If I use security running around Belfast City Centre with yellow jackets and walkie-talkies, and these groups of youth maybe see it as a bit of a challenge for them. And again, you know, I believe that you can't take away from community policing around the city centre, cleaning up the city centre, making it more attractive to people to come in to shop. I think that's the answer. It's not another security force running around Belfast, to be honest.
Well, can I just say to that one that we do have the powers of physical intervention, because they are being... business protection officers are actually SIA licensed. When we're on the premises, again, we have to differ. It's when we're on the premises of the business. Same powers that you would see in the hospitality industry through bars and nightclubs. But again, that's where we have to say. So we do have the power. But again, that is something that is only hands-on if it really, really needs to. So I think that's really what I would say to that.
I mean, for me, Tommy, to be honest.
Oh, I think we've just lost that caller there, Raymond Neal, this morning. Okay, look, we'll leave it there, and thank you very much. I think it's an interesting situation in the city centre. John Burrows, Raymond Neal, Tommy Fleming, thank you very much. 030 30 80 55 55 is the number to call this morning. Right, let's look at the Victoria Square apartment owners no longer now being liable for rates. The Finance Minister, Kiva Archibald, announced that refunds amounting to £170,000 will be issued in the coming weeks. Arrears of more than £390,000 will also be written off.
I'm pleased to announce today that LPS will be writing to the homeowners to inform them that they will no longer be liable for rates. So that means that anyone who has paid rates up until this point will have those refunded. Any rates arrears will be written off, and no further rates bills will be issued, and any court actions that have commenced will be ceased completely.
Keith Archibald was also asked, did this move take too long?
there has been a wider consultation on rates, and I'm now considering the outworkings of that, and I think it would be opportune to look at any additional policy or legislative interventions that may or that could be taken.
So that's Keith Archibald actually talking about a potential review. What we had said this morning is we'd put in written questions to the Department of Finance, and we hadn't had any response. We haven't had any response. Let me just read to you, to be fair to them, the questions, and note that they haven't so far responded. We asked the Department of Finance, we quoted to them part of their statement, LPS no longer considers it reasonable from a rating perspective to conclude properties are rateable. Department of Finance is in charge of the rates office. So we asked the rates office through them, why was it ever reasonable to charge rates from the point when the residents were told that they must evacuate? A silence from the rates office around that. Dawes Land and Property Services apologise to people who were asked to pay rates that they should never have been collected. Silence from the Land and Property Services around that. This is a public body. Will there be a review into why residents were refused a request to have their rates stopped? Department of Finance did not reply to that written question, but we note, and we'll just replay the clip that we played just a matter of moments ago. We note that Newsline asked them this question last night, and here's how they replied.
There has been a wider consultation on rates, and I'm now considering the outworkings of that, and I think it would be opportune to look at any additional policy or legislative interventions that may or that could be taken.
Well, is that actually answering a question around a review of rates? I'm not too sure it actually is, of what happened in this specific incident. What specific legislation, we asked Land and Property Services, has enabled you to refund these rates, since previously it's been the position of your office that you could not legally stop the collection of rates? Silence from Land and Property Services around that. We then contacted the Finance Minister and we asked Keith Archibald, should an apology be given by the rates office to those residents who were told by them that they had to continue paying rates for the last 5 years, despite them knowing that the properties were uninhabitable? We haven't had a response from the Sinn Féin minister around that. And finally, we asked, does the minister feel a review should be undertaken as to why residents were forced to take loans or endure distress because Land and Property Services refused to stop rates for residents who had uninhabitable properties? And we look forward to the departments and indeed the rates office responding to those questions. 0303 80 55 55. We're going to hear from the DUP MP Gavin Robinson. So let's continue with our coverage of the crisis for residents at Victoria Square Apartments. As we've been saying this morning, suddenly Land and Property Services yesterday afternoon decided that all 5 years' worth of rates should be refunded. I've been speaking to the DUP MP Gavin Robinson, and I asked Gavin for his reaction to the decision that the residents are getting their rates money back.
I'm very pleased to see it. You will know that I made that call around 10 days ago. I thought that it was immoral that individuals who had been removed from their homes, told they were uninhabitable, not allowed back, were paying for rates to the city and for services that they were not receiving. They were precluded from receiving, and actually were probably paying rates in their rented or alternative accommodation as well. So I think it was the right decision. I understand entirely why it took the Finance Minister a few days to get there. She obviously paused the collection of existing bills and has now taken the important step of refunding the last 5 years' pay.
Although you're saying it's the Finance Minister has done that, I'm looking at the precise wording of the statement, and I'm curious as to what has happened here. So Land and Property Services have said that the valuation of properties within the Victoria Square apartment block has been subject to review by LPS as part of an ongoing valuation appeals process. This was reassessed following the High Court judgment earlier this month. They say, given the specific and complex set of circumstances faced by the owners in this case, Land and Property Services no longer considers it reasonable from a rating perspective to conclude the properties are rateable. So the question is this. They've suddenly decided, after media scrutiny and people like yourself raising questions, that the rates would be refunded. And meanwhile, those residents have been contacting LPS for the last 5 years and they've been told, no, you've got to keep on paying. So what's changed? Nothing's changed.
Well, I think you know what has changed in the sense that there has been a huge public spotlight put on this issue. That has encouraged and supported a political willingness to resolve it. And of course, these matters rest with LPS. But for 5 years, the pleas of individual residents fell on deaf ears from LPS. It is only now that they have changed tact, that they have recognised, be it the public commentary, be it the political pressure, or be it the engagement from the finance minister, I suspect they have looked at it through fresh lens and they have looked at it positively. And I'm glad they have, Stephen. And sometimes I would sit back and think, you, Stephen Nolan, frustrate the life out of me and politicians and everybody else that listens to your programme on a daily basis. But there are times whenever there are very important stories and you run with them relentlessly. And you've done that on this occasion. And I know that the residents are very grateful for the media coverage and the interest. And I think across the public, a recognition of the devastating impact this has had for neighbours within our city, for whom many people were unaware, and now everybody seems to be putting their shoulder to the wheel to get a solution.
But the point I'm trying to make here is there not a question around why residents appealing to Land and Property Services did not gain the same result as media and political scrutiny? Are those residents entitled to an apology from Land and Property Services? Because nothing has changed. Those apartments were as uninhabitable 3 and 4 years ago as they are now. Nothing's changed. And yet residents were forced to take out loans, as you well know. You've spoken to some of them. Residents were forced to turn to their parents. So should there be a review of who signed off saying to these residents, you've got to keep on paying?
I will say this, knowing the residents that I've engaged with, Stephen, they are incredibly gracious. I don't suspect that they will be looking for heads to roll or anything of that nature. That hasn't been their style thus far, and they appreciate all the interest and the support that they are receiving at this stage. But for me, and for you in the role that you have, it is incredibly frustrating for us on a daily basis when people come to us, me as a public representative, you as a presenter, and say they have asked a statutory body to do the right thing, something they are entitled to, and the statutory body says no. But when I ask or you ask, they say, OK, yes. That's wrong. That should never happen. But it happens every day of the week. So it's not just LPS on this occasion. It's actually a fundamental flaw. Nothing annoys me more than somebody who has to ask me as a Member of Parliament to get them the answer they should have got in the very first place.
I want to ask a wider question now. The residents have sat in some of their living rooms. I've spoken face to face with quite a few of them. And the unanswered question, and obviously we need to be legally careful here, and Farrans deny liability. Gilbert Ash said that they didn't do any of the construction. They too deny liability, as do the architects. But so there is no conclusion now, Gavin, as to what actually happened inside that building. Now, there is a review by Stormont around whether you will change the law, whether the law should be changed so that there could be a 30-year window, the same as across the water in England, so that the residents can take a court case. Right? But separate to that, I don't detect, and put me right here if I'm wrong, curiosity from Stormont. Park the residents' individual case. Why are people like you and other elected representatives not curious as to whether this has happened in other buildings in Northern Ireland? Why should Stormont not commission a report in the public interest of what happened in that building so that we can determine whether it's likely that other buildings have the same frailties?
Yeah, so it's an interesting question, and it's an interface between government and private transactions. So what government do is they set up the regulatory framework. They issue building regulations, building codes. They are then enforced by local authorities. And I have raised Victoria Square with Belfast City Council because they have a building control department. As far as they are concerned, when they signed off the buildings, they were fine. They were grand. And there may well be a much wider discussion about this. It happened post-Grenfell. It happened on cladding. You'll remember the story that you covered for me on Titanic in the Ark Apartments, where ACM cladding was remediated post-Grenfell, but there was no scheme for non-ACM. That took us 2 years to get a scheme through. And it is now open, and those buildings are applying so that they can get the works too. And that followed, but just remember, that followed surveys and reports post-Grenfell, the cost of which was not met by government. The remediation will be, but the cost of all of those surveys and reports fell to homeowners and tenants within those buildings. So you're right to ask the question. The answer is a little more complicated.
Well,
and I don't want to, Stephen, divert from the real attention here, which is getting the change in the law done, getting it done quickly so that when an appeal is lodged, and I believe it is imminent, from the residents of Victoria Square, that the law will be in the right place so that this case can be heard and can be adjudicated upon.
I just want to pick up on a couple of points because I think it's really important. First of all, what you have said in terms of Belfast City Council, what they've said to you, that everything was okay when it was signed off, that is not consistent with what Belfast City Council have told the Nolan Show, because they have told us that their building control evaluations of the building wouldn't necessarily pick up all aspects. Let me just find...
No, but that is right. That's not in contradiction, Stephen. So it is not for them to take a sample of cement and do a test on it. That is not the role of building control. What I said is that Department of Finance, in this instance, will issue building regulations, and Belfast City Council will, in keeping with those regulations, go and assess to make sure that what is required has been delivered. That is a different thing to doing a very bespoke and in-depth engineering survey. That's not what Belfast City Council's role is.
But
I was approaching them on the basis of A, they have a function on building control, B, they have a function on building safety, C, they have a function on environmental health, and D, they have a building of iconic status in their city which had been uninhabitable for 4 years.
Let me put the wider point to you in a different way. The residents could decide, even if you change the law, they could decide, and look, they more than likely won't, but they could decide that they don't want to run the financial burden of an appeal. It's a lot of money when you go to court.
Yeah.
Is it not the responsibility of Stormont to establish, not on behalf of the residents, on behalf of the public throughout Northern Ireland, what happened inside that building, the purpose being for Stormont to have an understanding as to whether there needs to be investigation of other buildings in Northern Ireland? Are you not responsible for finding out whether other buildings are safe, whether regulations need to change, whether, you know, building control practices need to change? We don't know what happened in that building, and 90-odd apartments are deemed so unsafe they can't be lived in. How do we know it's not about to happen elsewhere?
Yeah, so we don't know that question. But you're asking me to engage in something and go down a line that would be to commit an executive to encroach on private relationships, private contracts and individual buildings outside of the...
No, I'm asking you, should you inform yourselves what happened so that...
That will come.
The regulations, we know that they're tight enough.
I have no doubt that that will come. And just as you and your production team and the rest of the BBC are careful around this case because there's a potential of proceedings being lodged today or in the coming days, I think need to be very careful about government stepping in to say, right, you give me the reports that you have, residents, and you give me the reports that you have, constructors.
Nope.
At this stage, Stephen, you're asking the question, do they have a responsibility to find out what happened? And we know that there are, when the appeal is lodged today, but ongoing proceedings. So what you've asked me, I think it's a fair question to ask, but I can't give you a definitive answer.
But it's not what I'm asking. And so I want to I'm clearly not explaining it properly. I completely acknowledge that no government can get involved in a private case where there's litigation on both sides. I completely acknowledge that. Should Stormont not want to commission a separate report, not for any court process, but to establish themselves that they're happy that the regulations that there are in Northern Ireland, that the legislation that there is in Northern Ireland protects us all for buildings that we're living in?
Yes, so take a comparator. Take Grenfell as the comparator. The government did not go in and survey every building over a whatever it was, I think, 10-metre height, 15-metre height. They didn't do that. What they did was pass a law to say that those owners privately had to go and do that themselves. They then said that if there was a problem that was endemic, it was across the United Kingdom, it affected all of these buildings, then they would assist with the remediation. That's what they said. But if you take a direct comparator, that was government assessing that A, there could be a problem here, B, it could be much more widespread, and C, that had to happen, that those surveys had to happen, but government didn't do the surveys in the first instance. And I just think it's an important distinction. But I'm straying here, and you're inviting me to stray, way beyond my core function. I'm not an executive minister, and I cannot speak for the executive. But what I can do is speak for residents who, you're right, are in perilous financial situation. This is a costly exercise. It's a huge burden, and it's been going on for far too long. But we want to get the law changed so that they can advance and have the courts adjudicate on this case so that they can finally get a positive solution and move on.
And do you think that's close?
Well, I think it has to be close. We know publicly from the day that the Communities Minister seized this issue and said, it may not be my department, but I will do it. He has taken it on. And with the Agriculture Minister and the Finance Minister, they have met and publicly said, indicated their willingness to get a change in the law. And to my mind, there is no point doing this unless it helps Victoria Square residents. And I believe that it will.
Okay. Gavin, thank you very much indeed for talking to us today. Thank you.
Thank you.
So DUP MP Gavin Robinson. Andy is one of the residents of Victoria Square. Good morning, Andy.
Hiya, how are you?
Good morning again. Well, your story, your testimony on the Nolan Show over recent days, very, very much connected with a lot of people in Northern Ireland, because you had to turn to your parents, Andy, for financial help, and you were devastated for having to do that, and you were hurt.
Yeah, 100%. But here's the thing, Stephen, my hands were tied. I had no choice.
I know.
I was cornered.
I get it. And you described being cornered. So what Land and Property Services have now done, Andy, you're going to get a refund. Or your parents are going to get a refund, or whatever way it works within your family, of all of the rates that have been paid over the last 5 years. Now, many of the residents, had you gone to LPS and appealed to them directly at any stage?
We had pretty much gone down the line similar to Denise and Patrick, where when we were paying, we were telling them that this apartment wasn't livable and, you know, we weren't using it, we weren't there. And there was a lot of confusion as to what we were actually paying for, because, you know, I had my other home now where I live now, because I had to move out of my parents' home. Mum and Dad had their own rates bill. So, you know, from that point of view, we were all fighting the same fight.
But were you communicating directly with the rates office saying we shouldn't have to pay this?
We were, yeah.
Right. So when
from
you
the
were,
word go.
Okay, from the word go. So over the last 5 years?
Yeah.
So I would say to Land and Property Services this morning and to the Finance Minister, this question is not going away. And the question is, how come the voices of the residents were not enough for you to take the decision to stop the rates? What, are politicians and broadcasters and journalists, are they on some different level? Do you listen to them more than citizens? Because I would like to understand. This statement from the Land and Property Services, Andy, it reads as follows. LPS no longer considers it reasonable from a rating perspective to conclude the properties are rateable. Well, what's changed? And the only thing that's changed is media scrutiny. Do you feel like you were listened to?
Absolutely not. You know, at the time we were all putting the same points across, and it just was falling on deaf ears. At the minute, with the decision that's been made, you know, it directly affects me and my family. So, you know, from our point of view, you take the little wins and you run, because there's a bigger target here, which is getting the law in place so we have something to appeal. But from an outsider looking in, you know, we take Denise's story, where she already was suffering with illness. She was getting letters. That has not only a financial cost, that has an emotional cost on Denise. So there has to be some sort of communication to say, we realise what the costs are to you in terms of finance and emotion, and something, you know, coming back from that, because, you know, we'll take the win and we are gracious for the win. But it does feel a bit like we needed that media pressure to get anywhere with this. Our voices weren't enough. They didn't get us anywhere.
Department of Finance, the Minister's also hasn't responded to the question as to whether you and your fellow residents are entitled to an apology from Land and Property Services.
Just some acknowledgement. Do you know, that's the thing, Stephen, some acknowledgement. And here's the thing, is that, you know, other people's stories are a lot worse than mine. I had to turn to my parents. I had that option. Other people didn't. And we talk about people who, you know, maybe stopped paying rates or, you know, got these letters through. Well, here's the thing. Maybe they didn't stop. Maybe they didn't have the means to pay rates.
Yeah.
And you're getting legal forms through, you know, threatening legal action. All of a sudden, within 24 hours, it stopped. There has to be some sort of reason for that. And, you know, if it was the media pressure and it was, you know, the help that we've got from outside agents, like, you know, the likes of yourself, you know, publicising our plight, that just feels a bit, our voices should have been heard from the word go.
Well, what Land and Property Services say is the valuation of properties within the Victoria Square apartment block has been subject to review by LPS as part of an ongoing valuation appeals process. Like, it's been subject to review as part of that process, has it? It hasn't been subject to review because of the pressure you were put under to justify your decision making. That's got nothing to do with it. It hasn't got anything to do with the Nolan Show writing to you asking who signed this off, that these people had to continue to pay rates. They then say this was reassessed following the High Court judgment earlier this month. Really? Because I've read the High Court judgment. The High Court judgment said that the case, in terms of establishing what happened within the building, could not progress. So, if there's any inference from that statement, this was reassessed following the High Court judgment earlier this month, the High Court judgment did not change one iota of the information that Land and Property Services have had for the last 5 years. And I'm now thinking about the people who had to take out personal loans. I'm now thinking about the people that were getting summons through their door. Are they entitled to an apology? For those people that took out personal loans, are you LPS or is the Department of Finance going to pay the interest on their loans? Because if they're getting the money back, the clear signal is they should never have paid it. So who's covering the interest? Are you entitled to any compensation, Andy, for all of this distress?
I wouldn't think so, no. But here's the thing, Stephen, you know, we'll take the little win and we'll be thankful for it, but there is a bigger fight at play here. If we don't get the law in, you know, that we need to appeal, we're lost. We're still lost in the ocean. And like it or not, you know, the facts of the matter are is that the money that we recoup from the rates that we pay are not even a drop in the ocean to the legal fees that we're going to need to press forward with this. But we don't even have that option if this law doesn't come in. So, you know, there was an AGM last night. Now, I wasn't at it, and I sort of thought with the rates information things would be looking up, you know, people would be a little... And the mood was still very somber because we still have this massive fight ahead of us. And as we stand at the minute, we have absolutely no law to go on. So, yes, the rates have come back and you know, very much the message from the community in Victoria Square is thank you so much. We're very gracious. We'll take the little win. But without this law in place, we're still out in the ocean without help. We've nothing to go on. And that money that we recoup isn't a drop in the ocean to the legal fees we have to pay to get representation to even fight this. It's not a drop in the ocean.
And if Stormont does change the law, if you are able to progress with a legal case, that's a big decision for many of you in terms of that's a lot of money.
It is a lot of money, but what's our other option? What's our plan B? We don't have it. Because there's a building there that we can't use, we can't go in, we can't live in. But what is our other option?
What have your parents said to you?
Do you know what, Mum and Dad, they were so thankful last night of the decision with the rates. Now, I will say, the mood was sombre because that's a little sideline to our plight as a whole. And at the minute, the law isn't in place for us to appeal. We're still high and dry, and let's not beat around the bush. It's not going to change overnight. We don't expect that to happen, but we do expect help from Stormont and we do expect this law to be put in place so we at least can appeal something. We can go on the grounds of this law and say, look, this is the position we're in. We seek honesty, we seek integrity, we seek some sort of outcome that benefits the community in Victoria Square. Without that law, we have nothing. We have nothing. We're hand dry.
Well, you've got many different government ministers saying that they understand the distress and that they're going to do something about it. So let's see. And Andy, we'll stay in touch and we'll stay in touch with the other residents. Our invitation to Farrans, who constructed, they were the constructors, remains. They've said no comment. Our invitation for them to come on and explain the situation. They're part of our community. They're a highly respected developer. They deny liability, but for them to have a conversation with the community in which they sell and they live and they breathe, the invitation is there. Same to Gilbert Ash, they've issued a statement saying that they had nothing to do with the construction. They fitted the building out and the architects have said no comment. Andy, thank you very much. Good to talk to you. Next up, Steve in Newton Orange. Good morning, Steve.
Good morning, Stephen. How are you doing?
I'm doing okay, thank you. Now, this is an interesting story about posters, paramilitary posters, which have appeared in Newton Orange.
That's correct.
We're going to post them on Twitter, on my Twitter feed, at Stephen Nolan.
So you've seen them, then?
Yeah. Do you want to describe them?
Well, they look like they're photographs taken from around about the 1970s during the sort of Ulster workers' strike. But again, it was images of paramilitaries wearing what would you call them, like army jackets with balaclavas on, carrying looks like M16 or possibly Kalashnikov automatic weapons. And it gives an awful look to the town when you're driving past this every day. If you're coming down Upper Greenwell Street and you're coming onto the Bangor Road, it's straight in front of you. It must be about 10 metres of these posters posted along the metal railings, and it just doesn't look very good about the town. It gives a very violent picture, if you know what I mean.
Welcome to Northern Ireland, where this is the this is the glorification of terrorism. It can just go onto our streets. There's the masked men. There's the so-called army depicted there. There's people in balaclavas and masks with rifles. There's an evil Skeletor-looking character, whatever that is, with a gun. That's for all of the kids to, I guess, walk past and learn, is it?
Well, that's what it looks like. It's disgraceful, I think. I mean, we have contacted the PSNI, who said it's nothing to do with them, and they referred us to contact the Department for Infrastructure. And then they said it was nothing to do with them and we should contact the PSNI. They're just passing us back and forward.
Of course they are. And they know exactly. They know. Both the PSNI and the Department of Infrastructure, they know that they will each pass it to each other. They know that. So people like you, a concerned resident, you just get the runaround. That's what happens to Northern Ireland.
Well, I don't know what we're to next to try to get these down. I mean, they're very violent
well,
looking images.
Do you not get this stage where you think to yourself, why should you bother? You know, when you say what we can do next as a society to try to get these down, if you've got all of the authorities saying it's nothing to do with us, if there's nobody taking the initiative, you know, how does that not disincentivise law-abiding, good people to try to tackle these paramilitary groups? Like, they're actually depicting death in one of... So nobody in any lawful authority can take this down on our behalf, the citizens of this country. We get the runaround and these gangsters prevail. Is that the message?
It appears to be. Seems to be the message coming from the authorities that we're powerless to remove them, unless we actually do it ourselves. But I wouldn't fancy meeting these people who put them up if I was taking them down.
The PSNI have confirmed that they received a report about this. It's George Street in Newton Orange, the George Street area. The PSNI say, within the current statutory framework, the removal of flags and posters is not the responsibility of the police, nor do we have a specific power to do so. We will only act to remove these items where they are assessed risks to public safety owing to their erection. They say there's no easy solution. Well, there we go. We're beat then. We're beat.
And what does
the gangsters prevail? Department of Infrastructure, the Department of Infrastructure Minister, John O'Dowd, they haven't even responded to us.
My goodness. It shows how important it is.
Is this the new Stormont?
Well, it looks like it.
The PSNI themselves say, experience shows the most effective solution to this issue is negotiation, mediation and engagement between local communities working with agencies, including local police. Negotiation? Let's negotiate?
We don't even know who do you negotiate with? We don't know who put them up.
You negotiate with paramilitary supporting, terrorist supporting representatives. Who else could you negotiate with?
I wouldn't fancy doing that myself. I don't know whether the Department of Infrastructure, maybe they need to negotiate with these people and say, look, we're not comfortable about it. Will you take them down?
Why does it make... I know it's obvious, but just let me hear the words of why you're uncomfortable when you see this.
Because it portrays violence in our society and the images are threatening. And you don't want to see that every day when you're turning the corner in the car.
Look, you know, the PSNI are saying there's no community or political consensus on this issue. I think there's a consensus for those people that differentiate between right and wrong. Like, who in their right mind supports this? Masked men with guns and death with a rifle being depicted in an area.
And like you were saying, Stephen, as well, is that you've got the children going past the school every day back and forward. So what does it create in their minds and their imaginations, you know, and what the future would be?
Maybe we're beat. Maybe the right-minded, law-abiding, good people are beat.
Well, I hope not.
Thank you for bringing the story to us. Let's see how long this stays up. Let's see if the Department of Infrastructure have anything formal to say to your request as a citizen. And thank you for talking to us today, sir. Thank you. Good morning, everyone. We're just there's been a development. There's been a development in this story about the paramilitary poster that has appeared in Newton Orange. One of our callers has brought it to our attention. And the PSNI are saying that they can do nothing about it. It's neither their responsibility, nor do they have specific power to do anything about it. Well, it looks like John O'Dowd, Minister John O'Dowd, has just put it up to the Chief Constable that what they're saying is not true. Because the Department of Infrastructure, within the last few minutes, have contacted the Nolan Show with the following. The display of a flag and emblem of a proscribed terrorist organisation is a criminal offence that may be capable of investigation by the PSNI. So this is the Department of Infrastructure clearly saying to the PSNI, they're not saying may be a criminal offence, they're saying it is a criminal offence to display a flag and emblem of a proscribed terrorist organisation. So when the PSNI are today publicly saying they have no power to do anything about this, Minister John O'Dowd is saying, yes, you can. This is a criminal offence. Now, there's an interesting form of words here. Minister O'Dowd is saying it is a criminal offence, and then saying may be capable of investigation by the PSNI. If it's a criminal offence, it is capable of investigation by the PSNI. Here's the bottom line. We talk about the possibility of a new Northern Ireland, a prosperous place where we can all live, a place which for the next generation can be different than before. And what do these authorities do time after time after time when concerned citizens contact them about the glorification of terrorism? What do all of these authorities do? They say it's not us. So what our caller experienced today, when he contacted the police said go to Department of Infrastructure. When he contacted Department of Infrastructure, DFI are saying go to the police. In other words, good law-abiding, concerned citizens get the runaround. So are we beaten? This was who, the UFF? So this is the UFF. That's what one of the flags says. So they shoot people. They deal drugs. They hurt people. They're involved in gangsterism. And the authorities can't do anything to stop the glorification, the recruitment, clearly, that some of these posters would aid the glorification of shooting and killing people and intimidating people. And a concerned citizen gets the runaround. The development this morning is John O'Dowd is putting it up to the PSNI. This is a criminal offence, is what his department is saying. Fred and Dremore, good morning, Fred.
Hello, how you doing? This new streets patrols in Belfast, they could go down and sort this out. Surely that may be come onto their role, seeing the police are not, well, now the police, now that has changed. The police could be responsible now, but...
So you want a private security firm now to go up and remove these paramilitary posters of the UFF?
Well,
are you serious?
If there's nothing else to do, because nobody else is going to be doing, according to, well, of course, John O'Dowd says something different now, but sure, when terrorism was sanitised after the Cromwell Street affair, everyone feels they can just do whatever they like. This new Ireland that we're all supposed to look to, sure, it's just turning out into a gangster-run land.
Well, John O'Dowd's department is saying anyone with information in regards to the display of these items should contact the PSNI. Like, is this some type of wind-up? When the PSNI are contacted, the PSNI say nothing to do with us. And they send you back to the very department that's sending you to the police.
That's right. Well, you see, no one really wants to be responsible for doing anything.
Well, I've been talking over recent times. You look at the power those voices had from Victoria Square. You look at what happened. Government was leveraged into doing something because those residents spoke out. So are we all just going to accept that UFF gangsters can glorify themselves and, sure, that's okay. Right. Are we all just going to shrug our shoulders?
Any gangsters, you don't need to just say UFF.
I'm talking about the UFF on this occasion because this story was brought to us about these UFF posters in the Newton Arts area.
That's right. But I mean, Stephen, you're the only man who can get things moving, and unless you, on your way home down to your wonderland where you live, maybe you could maybe do it on your way home.
Why should
I wouldn't think so.
Why should any citizen, Why can us all, as society, not expect the lawful authorities, or indeed Stormont, to stop this runaround that law-abiding people are given when they contact the authorities? Can Stormont not intervene? Again, were told that they are in touch with local people. Are we that powerless with all of this paramilitary stuff? And the police statement about negotiating with them. Now, maybe that's real politics in Northern Ireland. Maybe it is, and maybe that's how it has to work.
Well,
I don't
know. Maybe if you talk about a thing, it sounds better, but if you could do the same for these posters or any other thing that says done for Victoria Square, you have the power to do this by keeping all of these people, because nobody else keeps on because everyone's afraid to speak out of turn. If you're doing one thing one day, it doesn't please one crowd of people. If you're doing something the next day, it doesn't please the other side of people. So they're trying to run a middle. Someone said, to be safe, you go in the middle, take a middle of the road view. But if you take the middle of the road view, you get knocked down.
Fred, thank you. Peter and Carrickfergus. Morning, Peter.
Well, Stephen, I just drove along the North Green Street there. And, you know, it's both communities. And if I wanted to be offended, I'd be offended every 50 yards. And that's just the way Belfast is. You know,
that's the way it is. Yeah, let's absolutely. Of course it is. So let's just let all the paramilitaries and people who glorify terrorism. Well, you know, you can't put up a poster in your own front garden without council permission.
Well, I just look at it, it's Northern Ireland the way it is.
Of course it is.
Yeah, it is. And it's both sides to it, and you get. Listen, if they annoyed you, you would have to go away up. God knows how many deferments you'll have to take. And I just think people like that as curtain twitchers. He's nothing better to do.
When you say both sides, when you say both sides to it, can I talk to you about another side, a side that is sick and tired of terrorists, paramilitaries, gangsters having continued power in this country. A side that might not want their children, no matter what religion they are, no matter what background they are, no matter what colour their skin is, a side that doesn't want their kids walking past these people thinking that that's something to become.
No, nobody's saying anything that anybody wants to become. I'm just saying it starts about this time every year. You get the curtain twitchers, you get your man. He's got a 30
seconds. Curtain twitcher? Are you serious?
Yes, I think he's a curtain twitcher. I call people like that. There's nothing better to do with ourselves.
Right, okay. So this is three new big posters in an area, and somebody that's objecting to the glorification of terrorism is now called a curtain twitcher.
Right. Listen, Stephen, it's seeing this fall off the wall and hit you in the head. They're not going to do you any harm. They're posters. I disagree what they're about, but at the same time is there's better things to worry about than posters in Northern Ireland, because there's murals on the wall. What do you want? You're going to get peeps in. Who's going to go out and knock us murals down?
This is new.
It happens every week. If you got people on a phone, every week. It happens in both sides of community.
There we go. Well, look, as I say, go and try to, you know, if the local Boy Scouts group want to put a poster up on a council property, it'll probably be taken down. They're not allowed to do it. If a local community group wants to do it, they'll probably get fined. If a resident wants to, you know, change something in their front garden and put up a big erection of something, they'll probably be challenged for that. If a local shopkeeper wants to put a little table outside the front of their shop, they'll get inspected, they'll get done. But we've just got to say, that's how it is. These paramilitary gangsters can do whatever they like. The police then respond by saying they can do nothing about it, and they talk about negotiation, and the Department of Infrastructure contradict that and say the police can do something about it. It is a criminal offence. Jim's next in Lisburn. Morning, Jim. John O'Dowd, by the way, just before Jim, John O'Dowd was asked, we're just noticing this, by an Alliance MLA, the infrastructure minister admitted his department had not removed any unauthorised flags from street furniture over the past 5 years. This was Connie Egan from the Alliance Party that asked the question. And we can see that in his answer, John said that, Minister O'Dowd said that Article 87 of the Roads Order 1993 makes it an offence to attach unauthorised signs or advertisements to structures such as lampposts. He said, one of my department's primary considerations is the safety of the public, and where unauthorised flags or attachments pose a risk to road users, my department will seek to remove that hazard. Where there's no danger, my department will liaise closely with other stakeholders and seek to provide a solution. It's a lot more pointed now what Minister Dowd's telling us this morning. He's saying it's a criminal offence, and he's saying the police can investigate. Jim, go ahead, Jim.
Oh, Stephen, I've heard this one, I don't know how many years going back. Many years ago, David Dunseith, that used to do talk back, used to say exactly the same thing. The normal sort of law-abiding citizen wants to do, as you say, set a table outside his cafe. Along comes the authorities crashing down on their heads, threatening fines. People who couldn't live in apartments that were unfit are being threatened with summonses and everything else. But you see, when Rent-A-Mob come along, funny enough, the law seems to change. And that's what David Dunsey said years ago. He says, when the mob comes along, our laws seem to change. But yet the standard Johnny 5'8 citizen gets the full weight of the law coming crashing down his head for even the most minor misdemeanours. And it's always been the same, and it won't change. You know, I don't get to negotiate with the police if I've gone 5 miles an hour too fast. It's, there you are, there's your 3 points, there's your fine, suck it up, buttercup.
The police are saying they've no power to intervene. So there's somebody got this wrong. Police saying they've no power. The official Department for Infrastructure is saying it's a criminal offence.
Well, I'm sure there are legal minds in this country in various departments who could very quickly satisfy that question and say whether it is a matter of police responsibility or not.
Jim, thank you. Jim in South Belfast. Another Jim. Go ahead, Jim.
Hello, good morning, Stephen. Hope you're well, and your mother.
If any of you want to look
at Easter,
if any of you want to look at my Twitter feed at Stephen Nolan, you can see these new posters, and you can see then this new Northern Ireland in this new administration in this new possibility for prosperity. As citizens told, we can do nothing about it by the police and the Department of Infrastructure. Pass the buck back to the police.
Right.
Go ahead, Jim.
Hello. All right. I was in my mum's yesterday in the Lower Shankill, there she lives, just off Dover Street. And along came a big crowd, about 30 tourists, right? It's quite normal. They come down through there, they'd be up Northumberland Street looking at all the different stuff there coming across from the falls. And there was a guide with them. And she wasn't from here. But just as I was coming out of my mum's door, she says, "Oh, sir, could you help us?" I thought something was wrong. She says, "We're looking for the mural with the guns." And I had to think, and I'm thinking, up the Shankill, like, is there a mural with guns? And then I'm thinking, there's one up just below Tennant Street, in one of the side streets, I think it's Emerson Street, Carnot Street. And I says, "Oh, right." I says, "That's probably it there." They were delighted. It's all they wanted to see. They weren't concerned about any other stuff. They wanted to see the mural with the guns. Now, that's a very sad reality on this country, I know. But that's what tourism is bringing.
Well, don't you want our landscape to be more appealing to tourists than some glorification of these murderers and drug dealers and gangsters?
Oh, yeah. I want rid of it all. Rid of it all. All right, I want rid of it all. I don't want to see murals with masked men. We've got over that. We've done that. We're past that. Now, come on. Let's not grow our children and our grandchildren in the same way that we grew up. Because we didn't know any better when we were growing up.
Well, the UFF have a free pass, it looks like. And obviously other paramilitary organisations elsewhere. But in terms of this story on Newton Ours, the UFF can do whatever they like.
Well, I'm going to tell you, anybody can do whatever they like. Because today, in all of the constituencies, Republican and everywhere, in fact, John O'Dowd's constituency, they will be erecting flags, posters and banners with terrorism on it. For Easter. Forget about Christ being crucified and risen. That's all they care about. It's all the back pocket. It's all what money they're making out of it. They don't care about anything else.
That's how they celebrate Easter.
Well, Minister Dowd has made it very clear how much he's...
Let's see his actions. It's all
well,
right.
Well, he's
it's
calling
right
it,
talking.
To be fair to John, well, he's calling
well,
it, he is
let,
calling it
well,
a criminal...
Let him go down.
He's
it's
calling it a criminal offence.
John can go down to Lurgan today in his constituency and let's see him. Let's see it.
Well...
Anybody, words are hollow.
Well, hold on a minute. It's not for John O'Dowd to go down... And,
It's not
for John O'Dowd to do anything than it is for you.
He's the minister.
Than it is,
and
than it
go-
is for you or me or anybody else. Here's the bottom line. Minister O'Dowd has described the display of flags and emblems of a proscribed terrorist organisation as a criminal offence. He's saying the PSNI may be capable of investigating it, and he's encouraging people with information in regards to the display of such items to contact the PSNI. He is not shrugging his shoulders. He is not saying he can do nothing about it. The PSNI are saying they can do nothing about it. Minister O'Dowd is not, Jim. Ronnie in East Belfast. Morning, Ronnie.
Morning, Stephen. It's just that what I'm trying to say is the last time I checked, I never seen a poster doing any harm to anybody. But if you go to the Falls Road or Short Strand or wherever Republican areas on Sunday, you'll see more than posters going about. You'll see masked men coming out and they say they're out to remember their dead. O'Dowd and Miss O'Neill will be going to their commemoration to remember their dead on Sunday.
Well, there are many people throughout Northern Ireland in this complicated society that we have lived in over many, many years who feel that the war, the situation, the rights that were deprived of people, that they have a right to remember their dead, Ronnie. This story today is about something where new posters, new glorification of terrorism is the message throughout Northern Ireland that we can do nothing about it. That's what I'm asking. Mark in Lisburn. Good morning, Mark.
Morning, Stephen. I keep hearing the word, the real world, people in the real world. Well, as one of your previous callers said, in the real world, I do a lot of deliveries most days, and the amount of people I see going and looking at these kind of posters and murals, tourists come in, are they not right-thinking people? They come in, they love seeing them. Why that's right or wrong, but the real world in this country is, it's not fixed yet. It's a long way to go, and until it is fixed, we're still going to get these displays. Probably the way to start it is when the governments really do work together properly and when we really fully integrate schools so that down the line, maybe we only have integrated schools, because then over the years, it will quieten and probably distance itself. But there's a lot of shopkeepers and local shopkeepers are making money with all these tourists coming into the area to see it. That is the real world. It's as simple as that. That's the real world.
Are the police right when they're essentially saying, look, in the real world, there needs to be community and political consensus around this?
I think we need to get away from battering the police. Yeah, I actually on this, I do think they're right, because I do think it's all community based that has to sort this out. It's people within the communities have to do this. And a lot of people in the communities will think the way, especially unionist communities, the way it is at the minute, that this country's still up for grabs and that displaying these things is right. A lot of people won't come on radio shows and say it, but there is a lot of people you hear saying it's right.
And again, to be fair to...
I mean, you've had people on your show about Jeffrey Donaldson, about he sold us out and he's done this and he's done that. So that just shows you what the feeling is still like. So nothing is fixed yet, Stephen. So posters, as one of your previous callers said, I think posters is the least of your worries.
Well, Sir Jeffrey Donaldson would say, of course, that what he has done is Stormont's up and running now and you can hold all of these ministers locally accountable. Mark, thank you. to be fair again to John O'Dowd, he didn't, his department did not send through some type of ambiguous statement about the display of the glorification of terrorism. Mr. O'Dowd has said the display of a flag and emblems of a proscribed terrorist organisation is a criminal offence that may be capable of investigation by the PSNI, and anyone with information in regards to the display of such items should contact the police. We just want to give you an update as well. Essentially, the Department of Infrastructure have sent through a statement when we broadcast this morning that Minister Keith Archibald is ducking some questions. They have sent through a statement in which they continue to duck questions. So they say in their statement, Land and Property Services must act within the legislation, specifically the rates and the rates regulations. LPS has a statutory duty to collect rates. Well, we know that. That's fact. The valuation of properties within the Victoria Square apartment block has been subject to review by LPS as part of an ongoing valuation appeals process. The 13th of March 2024 High Court judgment has enabled LPS to reconsider the rateability of these properties. Really? So our question is, how? What was in that judgment that allowed LPS to reconsider the rateability of the properties? Could the Department of Finance answer that question? I've read every second, every word of that judgment. What was in it? Where it changed your inability to reconsider the rateability of the properties? Did you not know that they were inhabitable? You had documentation sent through to you by some of the solicitors representing the residents before that court process, that judgment. And the Department of Finance say, the Finance Minister has acknowledged the significant turmoil the owners of Victoria Square Apartments have endured and has been determined to find a way forward in respect of rates. Nothing in that statement answering the question that Keith Archibald has been asked, which is, are those residents entitled to an apology? Nothing in that statement answering the question if there will be a review into why the residents were refused the request to have their rates stopped. We'll see you all tomorrow. Thanks for your company. Bye-bye.
Show in the country. Listen again on BBC Sounds. Tweet at Stephen Nolan. Stephen Nolan Show.
Ob zum Meditieren, Entspannen oder Einschlafen, der neue Podcast Weltwach Klangreise geleitet dich in einem einzigartigen Hörerlebnis rund um den Globus. Begleitet von echten Aufnahmen von vor Ort, bereist du in deiner Fantasie ganze Kontinente, erlebst Klang für Klang ihre vielfältige Flora und Fauna und hörst entspannende Geschichten, die dir erlauben, dich inmitten dieser Umgebungen zu wähnen. Weltwach Klangreise, jetzt abonnieren.